Well, today's a special day for us. We're doing things a little different today in church. I know you're very disappointed, but I'm going to do a short sermon.
I know.
But we're going to take communion, but before that, we wanted to do something special. And I want to focus on the youth this morning. And we've been, we're focusing on how to help out our youth, especially in society today. And we were talking about it, and Sister Vivian mentioned a curriculum that would help our teens that or going into being a teenager, but the ones that did this study were all teenagers, I believe, about the importance of purity until marriage. Now, this is a pretty touchy topic, and that's why I asked the children to go ahead of time, because I'm going to talk about a few things that is pretty sobering, pretty upfront, but it is the truth. And I just wanted to inform you on a couple of things. But before we do this ceremony, this youth group came together, and we did two separate classes. We did one for the boy, and then all the girls, right? I was going to say boys, but it was just you, Reuben. See, I don't know. But we did that. And so Sam was with Reuben, and then all the girls Teresa took, and they did this study on something that's called authentic love, or the curriculum of true love waits. And I must say that, you know, studying through it, it was very, very insightful. It had a lot of information. And it was a curriculum that I know that they enjoyed, because I enjoyed it. And it was something that I encourage all parents, if you have a child that's at this stage of life where, it can come very quickly, these types of things that happen and on this topic. And so for about a month, we made sure they did all of them. And then we then said, if you agree with this, if you want to go with this route, we're going to give you a purity ring, part of the church. And everyone who did that wanted one. And so they took a step of faith and said, yes, I'm going to save myself and be pure with God until the day I get married. And so we want to recognize them for that. But before we do this, I just want to say a couple of things. Normally, I could just throw a bunch of scriptures at you about how not to do this. And you guys know that. But I'm going to take a little bit of a different approach, and this is what I want to share with you. The Bible makes it clear that marriage is between man and a woman. And the Bible also makes it clear that anything outside of that marriage is disobedience to God. Now, the Bible says that this area, sexual relations, is a good thing. And it is a good thing created by God, but it is abused like many things are that God created. And so we know these things, but many of us kind of skip over it. But it really is damaging to us. Not only physically, right? And I'm not going to go into details. I'm already halfway embarrassed talking about this stuff. I'm just kidding. But you guys know where I'm getting at here, okay? But here's the thing. The bottom line is this. Sex outside of marriage is wrong. We know that. But it does more than the physical consequences. And I read this article, and I want to share with you what it says. It says, whenever this takes place, there is a release in dopamine that's in the brain. Anybody know what that is? Yeah, it's a neurotransmitter that activates the reward center of the brain. This happens each time. And this chemical is the same thing that is used whenever someone takes drugs. Now, I'm not saying that this is a drug, but I'm saying that it is a mental and psychological thing as well. And especially for someone at that age, that can be very, very, very damaging. It can be damaging to now and in the future. But not only does this drug affect your brain, but it also leads gateways to other things. And this is what I want to focus on as well. And the curriculum talked about this too. But this can go to other things like pornography. It can go to other things that is kind of like around the white lines of things, but it still is wrong. And I read this article, and it really stuck with me and blew me away. And this is what the article says. It's a series called Conquer Series. It says 68% of Christian men view pornography on a regular basis. That's in the church. Now, I'm not trying to front anybody out. I'm not asking anyone to stand and confess anything like that. 68%. Now, these are not people that just say, yeah, I'm a Christian. This study was conducted in churches in different areas of people that go to church and love Jesus and try to serve him every day. And that struggle is so real that 68% of Christian men struggle with this thing to this very day. We're talking about not only single young men, we're talking about married, we're talking about a wide range. And pornography is something that is taking a part of men and women in society. And so it's very rewarding to be able to see that they talked about this, because it is something that can be a drug and can be addictive. And so as your pastor, I want to let you guys know that I'm proud of you. I'm proud of y'all for taking this big step, because society today says otherwise. Society today says, do what makes you feel good. Do what you want to do. But that's not what God's word says. This is the only scripture that I'm going to share with you. It's in Leviticus, and also 1 Peter quoted it as well. It says, be holy, for I am holy. That's what God said. God honors this choice that you're making. God honors people who are holy. We hear all the time that holier than thou, right? But it is good to live a holy life, to be separate from the world. And you're doing that. You're making this big step and commitment in your life. And I want to point out one more thing. You may have already gone down that path that we're talking about. I'm not trying to paint some kind of ugly picture over you. Because although these things happen and none of us are perfect, God gives us grace, he gives us redemption, he restores us, and he brings us back to where we need to be. And there is a recovery in that. So don't think that it's all over for you as well, okay? I just wanted to share that with you. And if you have any questions, you can come up and talk to me. I'd be glad to share with you. But I just wanted to share that. And I'm just really encouraged and proud of you guys. So I asked Sam and Teresa if they would please come up. They're the teachers of this curriculum. They're the ones who sat there and studied it and studied the stuff. And so I asked them to join us as well. And we'll have Sam sit on the one side or the other. And I just want to say thank you to Sam and Teresa for doing this as well. And I'm just going to let Sam take a part. And then Sam's going to ask the students to come up. And the parents, I'm sorry, Sam's going to come up. He's going to say some things. Then Teresa's going to get the students to say something. And I'm sorry, parents, but could you please come up as well and follow the instructions? Okay, good. Thank you, parents. All right, Sam.
All right. Okay, so today, a number of our students are committing themselves to God's plan for their purity. And the following students have completed several sessions concerning how to keep their relationships, their thoughts, and their holy their lives holy and clean. So parents, as I call your student's name, please come across to the front of the auditorium. So Reuben, Delilah, Alexis, and Kinsey, forward please. And guys, we're so proud of the commitment that you're making, and there's no greater plan for your life.
You know what, you got,
you just stand in the front, I guess.
And then Kinsey and Kelly, if you'd just stand right there, or just kind of out a little, there you go.
But yeah, really. Okay. But yeah, just thank you for the commitment that you're making, because we went through the class and like talked about like weird stuff, and we also talked about some really good stuff. And so I'm just proud of you guys and the commitment that you're making.
So. Okay, students, please repeat after me. Believing that the Bible is true.
Believing that the Bible is true.
And trusting God's plan for my life.
Trusting God's plan for my life.
I make a commitment to God.
I make a commitment to God.
To myself.
To myself.
To my family.
To my family.
To my friends,
to my friends,
to my future spouse,
to my future spouse,
and to my future children,
and to my future children,
for a lifetime of purity,
for a lifetime of purity,
including sexual abstinence,
including sexual abstinence,
from this day,
until this day,
until the day I enter,
until the day I enter,
a biblical marriage relationship,
a biblical marriage relationship.
All right, so parents, we're presenting the rings now, and if you could put those rings on your students' ring fingers, and then after you do that, please repeat after me. And so I'll give you a moment.
Yeah, you can go ahead and put them on.
All right, parents. Okay, so repeat after me. Believing that the Bible is true.
Believing that the Bible is true.
And accepting God's plan.
And accepting God's plan.
I make a commitment.
I make a commitment.
To encourage you.
To encourage you.
In your walk with Christ.
In your walk with Christ.
To challenge you.
To challenge you.
To continue growing with Him.
To continue growing with Him.
To keep you accountable.
To keep you accountable.
To your commitment for purity. And to set an example for you.
And to set an example for you.
With my own life and actions.
With my own life and actions.
May this ring.
May this ring.
Be a reminder.
Be a reminder.
Of your commitment today.
Of your commitment today.
I love you.
I love you.
And I am proud of you.
And I am proud of you.
All right. Guys, if you could, everyone just turn around. And we're just going to say a quick prayer. But before we do that, I want to ask the church to join in with us as well. Because we are a church. We are a group of believers. And we care and love every single one of these people up front. And so I want you to repeat this after me. As your church family.
As your church family.
We commit ourselves.
We commit ourselves.
To encourage you.
To encourage you.
To strengthen you.
To strengthen you.
To challenge you.
To challenge you.
To bless you.
To bless you.
To pray for you.
To pray for you.
And to cheer you on.
And to cheer you on.
As you live a life.
As you live a life.
Of faith and purity.
Of faith and purity.
We also commit ourselves.
We also commit ourselves.
As an example for you.
As an example for you.
We love you.
We love you.
And we are proud of you.
And we are proud of you.
Let's all pray right now. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come right now in a wonderful time. Lord, we know right now that you're looking down, Lord. We know that you're proud of your children for taking this step. Oh God, I pray right now that as they walk out of these doors, that this ring be a reminder of their faithfulness to you. Lord, I pray right now that when the enemy attacks and tries to take this gift away, Lord, that they are reminded that you are here, that you are faithful, that when they draw close to you, you will be near to them and get them out. Find a way out of any temptation, Lord. I pray, Lord, that they put boundaries in place, that these things do not get to the things that they go where they go too far, Lord. I pray, Lord, that the things that have been taught to them, that they will soak it in like a sponge and take it with them until the day of their marriage, whenever they are married. Lord, be with them, protect them, guide them. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. One more round of applause for our youth and our parents. Awesome. Thank you, guys. God bless you.
We need Sam.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we can get Sam a ring
because
he did the lesson also.
So, a couple years ago, like after I got saved and everything, I never did a purity class. So, they found that out and they're like, Sam, well, you did it with us, so you have to wear a ring now. And so I got a ring. And so now if you see me without it, then you can call me out. And so I can lead them in faith too. So they can always see my ring and see Teresa's ring and everything. Yeah, she's already married.
Awesome.
But yeah.
I guess I got to get a ring too now, huh? What a wonderful time. Thank you guys for that participation. That was so wonderful. It's such a special time as well. All right, well, my time's a little limited today, but that's okay because when you're an auctioneer, you can move fast. I won't go too fast, but we can move fast through this and everything's gonna go great. I wanna give you a little recap of last week. So we did our fast and so now we're starting to climb this ladder and there's an image of up there that's called climbing the ladder. And what we've been talking about are the gifts in the church. We've been talking about the gifts that are needed in the church and how the church in Ephesus that Paul was writing to are the same gifts we can give today through God. Now we have to get these through God. These are God-given gifts. And so we started talking about this, and I wanted to use a ladder as an illustration because we all have probably used a ladder in our lives to get up to a higher spot. The higher we go, the more uncomfortable it can be. The more unsturdy it gets, and maybe you look down, it's kind of weary, you're uncomfortable. But it's kind of the same way as well when we take more steps in faith than Jesus Christ. Climbing a ladder, in this case, is definitely a good thing. And I also kind of illustrated how, especially if you have a ladder that's not very sturdy, you like to have someone at the bottom to hold it and to give you that sense and comfort. Well, God's the same way as well. He gives us comfort and He encourages us because He wants us to have these gifts. And so just a quick recap, Ephesians 4, we talked about how it is to be a church. And Paul pointed out some things. And he said to always be humble and gentle and be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. And therefore, make yourselves united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Now go to verse 5. He says, there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. However, He has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. And here are the gifts in verse 11. And he says, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. So last week we talked about the apostles. Who are the apostles? Well, the apostles are the ones that went out and spread the gospel, went into the foreign areas. Jesus said in Mark 16 to go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. He didn't say, think about it, which they probably did. But his emphasis was to go out there. We have a bunch of missionaries on our wall that I'm looking at right now. And they took that challenge. They took that calling. God told them to go. And a lot of these missionaries gave up everything that they had. And they went because Jesus said so. God may be building you up to be an apostle. God may be taking you to places that you never dreamed of to spread the gospel. I want to tell you something right now. If that's you, pursue that. Pursue it. When He puts that on your heart and that calling on your life and the desires to go into different places, He's with you. And if the Lord's speaking you to do that, I encourage you that when you go, it's a good thing. The second thing that He talked about is prophets. Now, God can use anyone to give a prophetic word. And as we talked about last week, we have to always make sure that it's correct, that it's of God, that it's backed up with Scripture, and that it does come true to make sure it is God. Now, there are people that are designated prophets. That's kind of a different thing. But God can use you to give a prophetic word. Now, I must tell you that it takes time, and you have to develop that gift as well. How do we do that? Be closer to God. Draw closer to Him and say, Lord, I want to use you. Use me. And if He begins to give you words to speak of, make sure they're right. Discern them. Make sure it's from God and not from something else, because there are spirits, right? But develop that gift. The third thing are evangelists who tell people to come to Jesus Christ or convert to Jesus Christ. A lot of people, when they hear evangelists, they think of televangelists and big-time preachers and all this thing. Evangelism is not always a big public thing. You can evangelize on the streets. You can go up to people you don't know. I know for a fact there's people that are gifted in this area because they tell me. They talk to people. They invite them to church. They share with them. People that they don't even know. Now, I have to be honest with you. That one I kind of struggle with. Okay, I like to be kind of in. And so other people, and I have to work on it, right? But other people, they could just go. Just do it. Just talk to random people and share the gospel and this and that. If that's your gift, I encourage you to pursue it. Because it's a wonderful thing. Do what you want to do gift-wise. But also ask God to develop the gift. The fourth thing in this fivefold ministry is pastors. Now, I know you may be thinking, oh, this is just for me. But not necessarily. So the Latin word for pastor is pomain, which basically means a shepherd. Someone who raises or takes care of the flock. Now I know as title pastor, I see the point. But there's other people as well that God can use to be a pastor in the church. A shepherd is something that a lot of people need. We need shepherds all around, not in just this church. You may be raised in this church and God calls you to be a pastor at another church. That's okay. We're doing what the Lord wants. But the great example of a pastor is Peter. Because we all know about Peter, right? We talked about Peter a few months ago. Peter denies Christ 3 times. And then Jesus did what he said, came back, reinstated Peter, then asked Peter 3 times, "Do you love me?" Now we can go through all that. But the bottom line is this. Jesus said, "Do you love me, Peter? Then feed the shepherds. Feed my lambs. Take care of my flock. Take care of my people." And the Holy Spirit empowered, gave Peter, the little Peter that denied Jesus, gave him boldness at the day of Pentecost to explain to thousands of people to boldly stand up and say, "Jesus Christ is Lord." Now, being an apostle and being a pastor and an evangelist is not easy. Matter of fact, all the apostles were martyred, but John, and John didn't have a life of ease, right? It's not easy taking up that sacrifice, but if you're called to do it, you cannot deny it. So if the Lord's speaking you to do that, you can come talk to me. That's perfectly fine. And I also want to encourage you to pursue that. Draw closer to God and say, "Lord, I want to be used by you. And I want you to develop these gifts, Lord, for your glory, not mine." And the final thing is teachers. I'm looking at some fine teachers right now. I see Miss Shirley and Melinda and Lita back there, and my mother and Amy, and I could go on and on. Sam, Teresa. Great teachers. Teachers are something that we need. Teaching good, the wonderful love of Jesus Christ, but also teaching discipleship. This is one of the things that unfortunately is absent in churches today, and that's discipleship. We put on a big show and we got, you know, the lights and the fog machine, which, hey, if that's for you, you know, awesome. But people come to church and they get their 40-minute sermon or whatever, and then they just go back. They don't go back to the discipleship training or the children's church or the Sunday school. And so there's no proper way to make correction in their life. Can I tell you something? Discipleship is something we all need all the time. Not just for, you know, us that were raised in church or that, you know, maybe you just started. All of us. We all have to have this. This is all good for us. And not only that, but it builds us up as a church. Parents, you got to be teachers to your children. And I know I'm kind of like Apostle Paul on this, right? A lot of people say, "Well, Apostle Paul talked about marriage. He was never married." I get that. But it is true. When you look at the Old Testament and you look at Israel and how they were as a family and how God designed the family, it's together as one family. Our church can do a lot of things for the children. But I want to challenge you that you can be a teacher in your child's life as well. Giving them encouragement, giving them correction, reading the Bible together, praying together. These are all things that teachers must do and that all of us can do. Great example of this was the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul did some amazing things, right? We all know about the Apostle Paul going on the missionary journeys. 1, 2, 3, traveling thousands and thousands of miles. But you know, Paul had to have training as well. In places he spent years. Remember the church of Antioch? He was there with Barnabas. And he was taught and trained to do the right things. He was filled with the Holy Spirit on the way. And then he was trained for that. And this is what he told Timothy, who he was training and raising in the Lord as well, in 2 Timothy 3. Now, this is a verse we all know, but I want to do 16 and 17. And this is what it says. All Scripture is God-breathed. Say that with me. God-breathed. All Scripture. It's endorsed, it's improved, it's inspired by God. And is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Verse 17, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's hard for someone to put on the armor of God when they don't know how to.
Right.
That's where teachers come in. We got to teach us to fight back against the enemy. We got to let people know that it's okay to resist temptation and live a life of holiness. We got to let people know that it's good to serve God because he changes your life. He gives you peace and encouragement and strength. He lets you know that it's okay. He's this person that you can pray to anytime, and he wants to hear your prayers. He's the type of God that you can pray to and be mad at and cry and do whatever you want, and he still has that agape love, which is what? Unconditional. A lot of people think that God is, he's got a big button up in heaven, and once we make a mistake, he pushes the button, and you're done. It's not how it works. A lot of people think that they can do whatever they want and just do whatever they think, and God is good, God is great, God has grace, and I'm good. But there's got to be teaching on what to do. I'm not trying to pressure you guys. I'm not trying to shame you. Please don't misunderstand me at all. We all make mistakes. We all still make mistakes. God's a loving God. He cares for us. But we have to be taught right from wrong.
Right.
Not just children. Me as well. All of us. It's very important. As we close out, I want to give you a statistic I saw. And it says that over 80% of believers believe in God. But here's what's troubling. Only 56% believe in God as described in the Bible. And out of that 80, 23% believe in something higher. 19% don't believe. They do believe in a higher power or spiritual force. And only 10% do not believe at all. So the vast majority of people believe in God. They believe in something higher. There's something bigger than this. We're not, you know, created by random chance or by some cells or, you know, we didn't come from animals, things like that. There was a beginning. There was a creator. There's something higher than us. It's true, but only 56% believe in God as described in the Bible. Unfortunately, discipleship has gone astray. And my prayer is that we as a church change that. I encourage us not only in church and Wednesday nights and Sunday school and things like that. We go to our personal homes and teach it as a family, as a house, as a home. You may not have family. You may live alone. That's okay. You can still build each other up. We have technology, text messages, phone calls, selfies. I don't know. Whatever works for you. But we have to get engaged. We have to build each other up. I want to get into that in the next month, talking about Acts 2 and what our church model will be and our vision and things like that. But I just want you to look at that and see how distorted the view of God is in America today. In God we trust. Amen. But many people on that dollar, or many people that read that dollar, they don't know what God is. They don't know what kind of God it is. They just think it's a higher power, a higher being. So I'm glad that we are technically considered a Christian nation. But unfortunately, many people don't know what a Christian really means. That's where teaching comes in. So we have the fivefold ministry. And I believe that this church can get to that point. I really do. I see some people that are hungry for God. I've seen people who have grown tremendously, including myself, during this fast. You showed commitment. You showed God that you're real, that you want him, that you want to be closer to him. You showed God that you're here and you're ready to take that next level and climb that ladder. God can use you in one of those gifts. He can. He can use anybody. If he can make a donkey talk, he can make you talk. And I can tell you right now, you're a lot more valuable than a donkey. Okay? But God can use you. I encourage you this week to start pursuing that gift. Say, Lord, what do you want me to do? First say, Lord, evaluate my heart. Is there something that's not pleasing to you that you want me to change? The Holy Spirit will help you and say, yeah, you need to stop doing this. You need to stop doing that. Things will start coming to mind. You'll say, Lord, I just want to honor you with my life. Teach me, Lord, what you want to do. Start reading the Bible. You'll start to see things flow. That's the Holy Spirit. It's a good thing. And as you continue to grow, say, Lord, use me for your church. Your church. This is mine. Your church. I want to be part of this church. I want these gifts. I want to serve. God will give you that gift. But you got to pursue it. And you have to continue to develop that. And that's by drawing closer to Him. I want to ask the worship team to come up. And as we do that, I just want you to, you don't have to stand. I just want you to just bow your heads, and I want you just to be there between you and God. And just go into a time of prayer. And first off, there may be some of you, as you're praying or thinking about it, I just want you to focus between you and the Lord. There may be some of you that this is all new to you, and you want to get on the ladder. You want to get on the ladder. You may not be on the ladder at all, and you're ready for a new start, and you say, I want to take that next step, or I want to come back to Christ, whatever it may be. I want to tell you right now that God is a forgiving God. Forgiving God. He gives us so much love if we just come to Him. If that's you, would you just raise your hand and say, I want to make that commitment, that recommitment. You may be here this morning, and you may say, I want one of these spiritual gifts. I want to pursue this. I want God to speak to me. If that's you, would you raise your hand and say, I want to be part of this church? This isn't some type of guilt trip. Okay. Got hands. I'm just going to pray with you. Okay. You're just making a commitment saying, I want God to use me. I want God to speak to me this week and be a part of this church. Let's pray. Oh God, I pray right now for these hearts and these hands, Lord, that are hungry for you, Lord. I pray this week, oh God, that you faithfully speak to them, Lord, and show them what you want them to do in this church. Lord, I pray right now that you speak to them and encourage them, build them up to, Lord, what you want them to be, Lord, not what we want. I pray, Lord, during this time of week, Lord, that you speak to them, give them peace and comfort, and let them know and say, child, this is what I want you to do, and that they draw closer to you and build this spiritual gift for your church. Oh God, be with us all this week. Speak to us, oh Lord. Speak to us. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Just come into this time of communion. Lord, may we shut off everything around us. May we forget about everything going on and focus on you. You told us to do this in remembrance of you, Lord. Now we give this time to you and remember the sacrifice you made for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, this is how Paul says it. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took the bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we worship you. We thank you, O God, for the sacrifice that you made at Calvary.